How do you keep your family healthy this season when it feels like everyone around you is getting sick? I use Sambucol. It's drug-free and scientifically tested to help support your immunity. Sambucol has the power of black elderberry in every purple bottle. It comes in tablets, syrup, chewables, or my kids' favorite, the great-tasting gummies. So this cold and flu season, support your family's immunity with Sambucol Black Elderberry. It's the only one I trust for my family. And best of all, my kids love it too.
Right, internets, welcome to this week's installment of the ROI of Why, your podcast that focuses on all things purpose as it relates to business. As always, this is Andrew Tuzon, and I'm joined by partner in crime, Angie Kubicek.
Hello.
How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. The weather outside today is a bit, you know, gloomy, and it's kind of messes with the headspace a little bit, you know.
Yeah, I feel we have to, you know, get ready for it. It's here.
I'm like refusing to
fall
accept it.
Fall is upon us.
The 1 week of fall that we get before we go full rip into just, you know, the frozen tundra that is winter here.
My sister moved to Fargo, North Dakota, so I just kind of keep reflecting that her weather is going to be so much worse than our weather.
Yeah, straight up.
Except for the fact that so far their weather hasn't gone bad at all, and she's just like, it's perfect up here, and I'm like, hang it.
That's she is feeling the upswing of global warming.
This is, right. And I think this is like before it gets like awful. So
sure.
We'll see. I'm visiting her the first week of November, and I feel like I need to go buy a parka or something that's real.
Yeah. Or like two coats.
Arctic.
Yeah. Two coats. Just double up. It's fine.
You know. I thought you said two goats, and I was like,
that too. That could work.
I'm not going to slaughter for my coat, but whatever. I mean, it's cool. You know,
if PETA's listening, you know, we don't actually slaughter goats for coats, but.
Oh, PETA.
Yeah. So, Angie, today's episode is going to be super rad. We have Graham Pansing Brooks in the studio with us today. Super excited to pick his brain. He's one of the founders and partners of the Do More Good conference and movement, which if our listeners think back, you know, we had several conversations from that conference specifically. So it's going to be awesome to kind of get it from the horse's mouth today.
Yeah, I think I'm really excited for this interview because as I've been listening back to the real and amazing interviews we've had from the Do More Good conference, one of the things I kind of noticed was that I even a couple of times like misspoke, or we just didn't really define fully out what Do More Good is here for and then how it can help people connect into the different entities that we feature within the podcast.
Yeah, sure.
So I'm excited to just go a little bit deeper with Graham on the topic of Do More Good and how people can really start to activate their business into this new way of being more about purpose than profit, and that there's a couple of different avenues that people can connect in with depending on what their business model is about. So I'm excited to kind of explore those frontiers today.
Yeah, ultra smart guy. Really, really like entrepreneurial based and minded through and through. It's going to be fun to pick his brain.
I wish I had that motivation at his age to like see something and then be like, I'll raise my hand, I'll not sleep and do all the hard work and kind of bring this movement to life. It's pretty inspiring and exciting to watch it all kind of come into fruition.
Yeah. So should we just like stop teasing it and do the thing?
Yeah, I guess so. Graham, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Are you kidding me? No way. This is an honor. This is awesome.
Really excited to be here.
That's awesome. We'd like when we had all those conversations at the conference, kind of to like piggyback off what you were saying, Angie, you know, we didn't do it justice as far as the deep dive is concerned. But I think a lot of that stems from the fact that we were just so blown away by the conversations that we were being just like submersed into that, you know what I mean? It was hard to take a step back from those conversations and really do the thing. And so having you here today to really unpack for us the impetus behind all of this is going to be huge. So we appreciate it.
Yeah. So I think diving in, Graham, maybe a great starting point is just to give us a little bit about your background. You've always been an entrepreneur, but what were you doing before Do More Good? And what made you just say, I'm all in on this type of a project?
Yeah. So I was born and raised here in Lincoln, Nebraska. And during high school, I actually attended Launch Leadership. So I think that a lot of the people here would that are listening to the podcast probably have heard of Launch Leadership. And if not, you should check it out. It's a a really great organization for youth development and leadership. And actually, so the first time that I went to that summer camp, Jay Wilkinson, the other founder of Do More Good, mm-hmm. actually was my co-op leader. So helped lead the group. And so,
how long ago was that?
So I was a freshman.
7 days. Yeah, right?
that was I'll date myself a bit here, but so that was my freshman year of high school, which must have been 2005, 2006, cool. somewhere in there.
So dated.
It's right.
Yeah, I know,
old
right?
Old man Graham over here.
Yeah. Thank you for making me feel old as hell. That beard's coming in it's, nice though, buddy. Sorry.
Oh, no.
I got all the beer juice. It's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fine.
So yeah. So I met Jay at that point in time, and we just really hit it off, and we have stayed connected ever since.
Yeah.
So I went to college down in Atlanta, Georgia. Studied economics and global health down there.
Awesome.
Came back to Nebraska after I graduated, and then spent some time out in Washington, D.C., working in healthcare consulting. All the while, I stayed connected with Jay and others here in town, particularly after I studied at Emory. A lot of my focus there was on social enterprise and the social side to economics. And so coming back to Nebraska in 2014, that was the time at which FireSpring had just become a B Corp.
Right.
Yep.
And legislation here in Nebraska had just passed for benefit corporations. And so I had come back, you know, having studied these things in school, and Jay was sitting here on the forefront of it, having led FireSpring down this path. And so I was really excited to get a chance to reconnect with Jay and kind of hear how these concepts were applicable here in the U.S. and specifically here in Nebraska. And so that kind of led into a partnership and a collaboration over the last, it's now been about 5.5 years.
Sure.
Collaboration.
So when you were in Georgia and you're going to school, like in your mind's eye, what was the play after you graduated, right? Like, did you have a role that you really wanted to move into? Did you have an organization that you kind of like pinned as the North Star for your career? Tell me about that real quick.
Not really. So at that point in time, so I had studied social enterprise throughout my time at Emory. Mm-hmm. I'd studied abroad in Geneva, Switzerland. And while I was there, did some work focusing on the some work that Howard Buffett Jr. was doing at the time with Credit Suisse, developing their impact investing model.
Yeah.
And so I knew that I really wanted to be in the social enterprise space. I knew that I wanted to have purpose and fulfillment in the work that I was doing. But I still felt like at that point in time, there was the field of social enterprise was mm-hmm. still sort of budding and still trying to develop. And I was trying to figure out my path and space and position within that field.
So when you went and studied economics, as a 18-year-old kid coming into college, like what was your motivation behind that? Because I think what isn't lost on me at all is just that you have to be pretty visionary to understand what a degree like that can do for your future and how it can open a variety of doors and opportunities. I know myself, I would have never, and my dad's an economist, so I can say this and he'll eye roll this as he hears it, but I just wouldn't have crossed my path of consciousness, I think, to think about going into economics. So what motivated you to go into that field?
Well, I sort of stumbled upon it.
Okay, perfect. You're too honest. If you're like, well, at 18, I knew.
So I went to college thinking that I wanted to be in medicine.
Okay.
And, really?
Yeah. So I spent my freshman year at Emory focused on really trying to go that pre-med route. And I quickly realized two things. Number one, chemistry was not for me. And number two, I didn't like blood. And so
kind of a critical
to the job. So those were two strikes for the healthcare industry for me.
Yeah.
But I transitioned and I took an economics class as I was trying to figure out what the next step was once I decided pre-med was not for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so taking that economics class, I started seeing parallels between, I started to shift rather towards this perception of trying to take on the healthcare field from the more of the business side or the economic side of it. And so I ended up studying economics with a minor and focus in global health, society, and culture. Mm-hmm. And so really being able to take a broader look at healthcare on the international side, healthcare as it relates to business and healthcare from more of the business side rather than necessarily the application.
Gotcha.
And being a practicing doctor.
Holy hell, Graham. 18-year-old you is very different from 18-year-old me. Straight up. Quick point for you. Follow-up question to Angie. So what motivated you to come back to Nebraska after you're in Atlanta, you're in Switzerland, and then you come back to the middle of everywhere? Tell us about that decision.
Yeah, well, you know, As an 18-year-old, I was really excited to get out and experience something different than Nebraska.
Sure.
And, you know, I think that that distance actually provided a lot of perspective to me. As I was kind of navigating my way through Atlanta and during my time away, I oftentimes was the first person anybody had met from Nebraska. Mm-hmm. And so there all of a sudden became this sense of pride and purpose to being a Nebraskan. I felt a calling to help educate others on what Nebraska was and how great it is, and trying to encourage everybody to come visit and understand what was happening here. And so, you know, I think the distance really provided me perspective into how unique and special this place is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so after I graduated, it was sort of a no-brainer to come back. Granted, I ended up leaving again, but again, that distance is, I think, provides that perspective.
That's awesome.
And so being able to develop that pride of place and excitement for a place I grew up in. So I'm just thrilled to be back here in Nebraska.
Well, I think it's been fun. It's great that you have the opportunity to kind of become the spokesperson of Nebraska while, you know, you're on your journey. I'd like to just thank you for your commitment to personal hygiene at the same time, because I mean, you got great teeth, dude. I'm just going to call it what it is. And I think you're helping break the stereotypical mold of what most people who have never been to Nebraska think of Nebraska when they see it in their mind's eye.
Oh yeah. We've got covered wagons. You know, we take the airplane down to Kansas City.
Did you ever troll people and just wear overalls and hand out corn cobs and do the thing, or did you embrace the stereotype, or did you break the mold?
Well, so it was not uncommon to see me walking around both Atlanta and Washington D.C. wearing my red and white striped overalls and corn head.
Yes.
So you know, I had to be true to the Nebraska Cornhusker fan.
I like it.
So you know, I gave into the stereotypes a little bit.
I can dig it, man.
I like it. So now we're post college. So then you and Jay have this vision to create this Do More Good conference. So you're back home and you're kind of working and partnering and collaborating with a lot of different people. What kind of made you guys go all in on the Do More Good conference?
Yeah.
Just Do More Good movement, not just the conference.
Sure. So there had been a committee that had been meeting for a number of years, talking about Do More Good and the need to really help create a platform to discuss these topics. And so we had a really wonderful committee, a lot of incredible Lincolnites, Rich Kloss and Randy Hawthorne.
Oh yeah.
John Fullwider was involved with this. So a lot of really wonderful people that were helping go through this vision and planning process. And so a couple of years down the line, we're sitting here and still having periodic calls and Skype conversations about the planning of this. And so it got to a point where I felt like I was looking for a transition. I was really passionate about the conversations we were having and wanted to jump in feet first.
Yeah.
And so I ended up having a conversation with Jay and Randy Hawthorne and said, you know, I'm ready to move back from Washington, D.C. I want to take this and keep moving forward with it if you guys are ready to do that. And so it's been a really great journey. And so in April of 2018, I moved back to Nebraska and to really start helping be the boots on the ground effort to push this thing forward.
Yeah.
After several years of ideation and vision and planning.
And what a job you did too, man. Like, and I'm not trying to comb the ego or anything, but you know, watching you take the bull by the horns and watching the conference unfold and the people not only fill the room, but leave, and you can feel the energy. You can see the value that they pulled from it and how much their wigs got peeled, essentially. Man, you guys crushed it.
Well, and just look who got involved. Honestly, it was just so impressive to have some of the heavy hitters jump in and join you on that inaugural conference.
It was really incredible, and it's nice of you to say all of that, but you know, there was a small army of people involved with this that helped put this whole thing together.
But it requires somebody to take the bull by the horns, which you did though.
But FireSpring had such an incredible role here. We had so many people that jumped on board and decided, you know what, let's make this happen. You know, especially as I think about a lot of the folks that helped make so many different introductions to individuals around the country that are focused on this.
Sure.
You know, first and foremost, Preeta Bonsall.
Yeah.
She was absolutely incredible to helping make so many different connections. Rick Sapio, Rand Stegen, Michelle Kinder, they all have been really wonderful guiding forces for the development of this do more good movement.
Sure. You're humble as shit, and I appreciate that. I mean, it takes a tribe to do a thing, and throughout my entrepreneurial journey, I've definitely learned that you're only as good as the people you surround yourself with, but you still need somebody to lead the charge that other people believe in to the point where they're willing to follow on that quest, and you and Jay running with that ball, man, it's like, that's just a recipe for amazing things to happen, which we saw happen in real time, right?
Yeah. Like
it was cool.
Yeah, so let's dive into what the movement really is standing for. So, you know, over the next few weeks, we're still going to be rolling out a lot of the amazing interviews that we had at the conference, mm-hmm. but we'll also kind of, you're going to hear from some of these different organizations. Conscious Capitalism is coming up with Rand Stegen. We talked with Jay Cohen Gilbert from
1% for the Planet.
B Corp. And then there's 1% for the Planet out
right,
there.
Right,
so
right.
Why don't you just do a quick breakdown of like each of those groups and kind of how you guys help people kind of find that path to purpose within them.
Yeah, do that.
Yeah, so.
A really big question, right? Just if you could quickly answer it.
Well, so, you know, I think first and foremost, the vision for Do More Good was originally to be, we want to be that last mile. We want to help organizations move down a path to purpose. Mm-hmm. And we recognize that there are a variety of different paths that organizations and businesses can take to achieve that. And so, what we want to do is, as through the Do More Good movement, is to really help elevate and have conversations about all of those different paths and help those organizations find their way to be able to say, you know what, let's, 1% for the Planet is the path for me, or Conscious Capitalism is the path for me. And so how do we help you move down, first of all, identify that and then move down that path?
Sure.
And so that was sort of the foundation for Do More Good, but we had a really exciting opportunity to bring in representatives to the Do More Good conference from all of those frameworks.
Yeah.
And so as you're talking here, Rand Stegen with Conscious Capitalism is a co-founder of Conscious Capitalism. Mm-hmm. Jay Cohen Gilbert is a co-founder of B Corp. We had Preeta Bansal involved with this, who had been involved as well with benefit corporation legislation. And so, you know, there are a lot of people that came to the table this first year of the conference that have been critical founding fathers to social enterprise here in the United States.
Yeah.
And so we feel really, really fortunate to have had that opportunity to have each of those individuals come to Nebraska, get to see what's happening here, and then to impart their wisdom on our community.
Yes.
That's amazing.
And what I love about each of those frameworks, as you call them, is that they all kind of do have a different motivation, and that none of them compete. It's all of them kind of owning a lane, essentially, mm-hmm. so that way they're not making people make a choice. Like, you could be a part of all three of them in an essence. And so I think that's really exciting. So let's break down B Corp or Benefit Corporation first. I think selfishly it's because it's the one we're a part of and it's the one that I know the most. But when you think of a company, say we'll use some like small to mid-sized companies as maybe our example, like what would motivate them to become a benefit corporation?
Yeah. So, and I think the first step is to clarify between benefit corporation and B Corp.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. This is where I have to catch myself because I use them all the time because I love abbreviations.
Mm-hmm. It can be very confusing.
Yeah.
And there are distinct differences here that are really critical to the social enterprise movement in general.
Correct.
So benefit corporation is actually the legal structure.
Yes.
There are 35 states, the last I checked, I think that's still accurate, 35 states that have passed legislation for benefit corporations. So it's expanding what types of business models mm-hmm. Businesses can incorporate as. So much as you
Correct.
Can incorporate as a C Corp or an S Corp,
right.
There are 30 in 35 states you can now incorporate as a benefit corporation.
But a benefit corporation does not have tax implications. It's more saying that when you have a board meeting and decisions are being made, you're considering not just the financial aspects, but also the economic implications and your community, all of the things that you know, the movement stands for, essentially, correct?
That's exactly right.
Oh, I did it! Yes!
So, I know. High five.
Yep, nailed it.
So exactly. So basically, it's expanding those definitions of who the shareholders are and who the business leaders or what the business leaders should be taking into consideration when they're making decisions.
Awesome.
So it's no longer necessarily strictly about shareholder profit or short shareholder value. Suddenly, we can be taking into consideration the environment, society, community implications. Mm-hmm. And so it really expands the definition and the foundational principles of why business exists.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
again, to your point, there's no tax difference. So you do have to elect a specific tax structure. So similar to like you would select an S corp or a C corp tax structure. And then on the other hand, B corp is it's a nonprofit third-party organization. It's called B Lab, and so B corps are certified by B Lab. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So rather than a legal entity, foundational tenants, which is benefit corporation, the B corp is a third-party certification, similar to LEED certified green buildings, U.S. Fair Trade.
Okay, yeah.
So B Lab goes in and reviews the entire business model and business structure, and says, yes, you've reached a threshold of environmental, social, community stewardship, and so we're going to give you a stamp of approval. So one is legally a legal foundation, and the other is a third-party certification.
Got it.
Yeah, and then they go out and they create a list every year of kind of like, here are the companies that are really walking the walk and talking the talk and putting those tenants into motion. So
precisely.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. So
Firespring.
Here at Firespring. Yeah. Yes. Firespring is both a benefit corporation and a B Corp.
Correct. Yep.
Right.
Yeah, and we hit the top 100 list this year with those B Corp rankings, so we were pretty excited with that outcome.
Thank you for walking us through that, though. I think you going full rip on that really, you know, provides context, not only for us in the conversation, but for the listeners out there, too, who maybe haven't done the deep dive and, you know, maybe scratching their head when they hear us say benefit corp, B Corp, and in their minds, maybe it's synonymous or they're, you know what I mean?
Like,
it's distinctly
different.
It can be confusing, definitely.
Very confusing. So then we have a completely different framework, which is conscious capitalism.
Correct.
And so why don't you dive into that one real quick?
So conscious capitalism is another great framework. Really, the entry point to conscious capitalism is they have CEOs of organizations sign their conscious capitalism credo. Mm-hmm. So the conscious capitalism credo really is a way to encourage CEOs to help make a stand and say, we are going to take into consideration environmental, social components into our business decisions as well.
Okay.
And so, again, it's sort of a statement by leadership of organizations that says, we want to live by the triple bottom line values.
Yeah.
So people, planet, profit.
Right.
And so it's a statement and a stance, by those organizations.
Got it. And then the final, leg of the stool here is 1% for the planet, right? So walk us through what that the differences of that one are.
Yes. And so 1% for the planet is another one where you can simply sign up. And basically, it's a commitment by an organization to donate 1% of their profits to environmental causes.
Awesome.
So 1% for the planet actually can help identify environmental causes, or if the organization itself has an environmental cause that's near and dear to their heart, mm-hmm. They can actually donate to that cause.
Nice. And what's cool about that one is they kind of work with companies with where they're at in the process. So you could do like, our whole company is going all in, like Patagonia has, mm-hmm. no matter what the sub brand or subsidiary is of Patagonia Inc., everything gives 1% back.
It all cascades and ripples into
the cause. And then you could also do it by brand or just by product shelf. So they kind of work with organizations with where they are in their growth model. If 1% of your overall profits is too much, then you can go down to the product level, which I think is just really cool because it makes sure that they're thinking about including those who want to start small and grow up with the organization. But you could also jump in if you are a larger entity. So I think that's pretty cool about all of these is I think they work with people with where their organization is at in that moment of time, but also helps them think about the future impact of what they're trying to bring.
Yeah, and I think it's neat that they're also considering the wherewithal in terms of like what an organization can like give back in that moment, right? Like making those kinds of changes for some organizations, you know, just can't happen overnight because of different obligations or whatnot. Thank you for explaining the three different organizations there, three different platforms. Of the three, which one's your favorite?
Oh my gosh, I was thinking the exact same. It's like picking your favorite child, right? You can't do that.
They're all wonderful.
That's amazing.
Very, very diplomatic answer.
Yeah. So if I'm a business person and I'm kind of like hearing this and getting some sparks of excitement, and the show notes will definitely link to all three of those different frameworks, but what would be a next step for you if I haven't done any starting point? What is a good start investigating moment for people?
Yeah, I mean, I think that visiting their websites is a great first step, right? Mm-hmm. Just familiarize yourself with what the frameworks are about. where they kind of come from.
Yeah.
I think having that baseline understanding is really helpful for that initial deep dive. And you can also take a look at what organizations are aligned with those specific frameworks,
yeah.
right? And I think maybe there's a few on there that are inspiring or mm-hmm. similar industry to yours, and maybe you want to jump in and also experience some competitive advantage
sure.
that those organizations are feeling. But you know, I think first and foremost is going through and just getting familiarizing yourself with the space in general.
Awesome. Yeah, good call. I want to shift focus real quick, if that's okay. You know, we have the Do More Good Conference, right, which I think a lot of people look at as, you know, an amazing event, but kind of, you know, its own entity, its own, you know, thing, essentially. But it's actually a facet of the Do More Good movement, which I don't think we've spent a ton of time talking about on the show. I know we've talked with Jay about it a little bit and whatnot, but I also know that you guys have, you know, huge swings that you're gearing up to take throughout the rest of this year, next year, all the things. Kind of share with us what you can without, you know, spoilers and you know, stuff. What are you guys up to? What are the next steps? What are you scheming? How does this fit into the overall master plan, if you will?
Yeah. So from a high level, our goal and objective is to increase the number of organizations that identify with one of the frameworks that we've discussed already today. So we are going to measure our success by the number of benefit corporations that are in the world, the number of B Corps that are certified, the number of CEOs that sign onto the conscious capitalism credo, and the number of organizations that commit themselves to 1% for the planet. So we really want to be that last mile. We want to be able to help encourage and walk businesses down this path to purpose. Mm-hmm. And so that is where we come at from everything that we're going to be talking about with the Do More Good movement. That is fundamentally and foundationally our intent and our focus of what we want to accomplish and how we're going to measure our success.
It's like the purpose Sherpa almost.
It's yeah, I like that.
Cool.
You
can take it. It's fine.
You can put that on your business card. That could be like the new titling right there.
Yeah, there we go. Everybody is just purpose Sherpas.
Yeah. Boom. It kind of rolls off the tongue.
It does. I like it. I like it.
Cool. It's yours. So take it.
we'll give you some royalties.
I appreciate that. Cool.
And so, you know, I think that along those lines, though, as we're looking towards building this movement, we want to be more than just an event. Mm-hmm. We want to encourage these conversations to take place 365 days a year, mm-hmm. not just during the 3 days of the con.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 5000 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 5000. Enjoy.
Conference. And we also want to...
Do you have an idea, brand, concept, or business? Well, we have what you need to grow your brick-and-mortar presence. Brookfield Properties. You mean business. We mean retail. Discover new business opportunities at wemeanretail.com.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's largest mortgage lender. Let's talk credit card debt for a minute. If you feel you're carrying too much of it, you're not alone. The average household in the U.S. carries over $8,000 in credit card debt. Ready for some good news? With a cash-out refinance from Quicken Loans, you can quickly and easily put some of the equity in your home to good use by paying off a lot of that high-interest credit card debt. A great way to take cash out is with our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.99%, APR 4.08%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN to learn how taking cash out with a 30-year fixed mortgage might be the right solution for you. And for a record 9 years in a row, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rates subject to change. Pay 1.25% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.